Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 3, we were looking at John 4, 23 and 24. So let's continue right there today.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
When we read here in our text, 1 John 3:16, that he laid down his life for us. Kind of reminds you of Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, just like we are, yet sinners in our worst state, Christ died for us. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 13, says it this way. Greater love. I think of that word greater. Greater love. Above what would be called great love. We say, well, they have a great love for one another. Well, this would even be above that. Greater love hath no man than this. No man has a greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for us. It is not only the death, burial, and resurrection that comes to mind, but the fact that his very person, the very person of Christ, stood in our place. Let's allow the following scriptures to address what is meant by this statement. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, and then the Gospel of John also, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, verse 10 and verse 14. So let's start off, first of all, by looking at John 4, 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, do you remember the story when the people were trying to say, well, Jesus did miracles by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils, you know, and they were trying to say those things about him. And I tell you, that is a terrible thing to say. And so Jesus went on to say, well, look, if Satan cast out Satan, his house doesn't stand. And then he went on to tell about the good man of the house. Now, if he protects his house, boy, that is great. But if a stronger than he comes, he takes all of his armor and everything else in which he trusted and takes it away. You see, when you try any other way of salvation, you try any way other way of living as a Christian, away from the Bible way, it'll be just like Jesus said, those devils can get kicked out to begin with, but then they come back with seven more wicked than they are, and they make the state of that vessel worse than it was to begin with. And you see, my friend, you can be even worse because although what you did to begin with kind of rebuked Satan or withstood him, because you're doing it in the power of the flesh, because you've turned to the arm of flesh, Satan comes back and makes things worse. Sometimes Satan likes for you to get your faith in the arm of flesh. But my friend, understand, God is a spirit. When we were made in his image, we were not made in the image of a body. We're made in the image of his spirit. It's an eternal spirit. We live forever. You will exist forever, either in heaven or in hell. There's no in between. God is a spirit. We can know him intimately in spirit. And so they that worship him in spirit and in truth. Make it your goal to study God's word, to meditate on it, and think on it so well that since he has given us his Holy Spirit, who Jesus said in John 15 would teach us all things and bring to our mind, bring to our remembrance all things that he has taught us and teach us things to come. So as you draw nigh to God, get to know his person. Get to know who he is as a person, not just his position that he's God, that Jesus is the Savior. No, know his person. You know, sometimes my wife can know what I'm thinking. I can know what she's thinking. We can know something that bothers them or bothers me, whatever. We can know those things. We can, just because we know each other so well, after 49 years of marriage, we know when things are not right, when things bother us. And so because we have that knowledge, and we know what bothers the other one, that is something in our spirit. Things don't have to be said. There are things that I might have said early in my marriage that I'd never say now because I know the effect they would have, and it wouldn't be good. So you hold back those words, even when you feel like, oh, you're upset and you want to say those words. Well, no, you hold them back. You don't say them because you know the reaction. You know things that are not really anger. They're just things that are different. And yet, you know, because I know her person, I would never even ask about that or talk about that or bring that up as something to do. No. And in the same manner, God is a spirit. There are certain things, because God is a holy God, we know. We don't ask God, is it all right for me to take drugs? Is it all right for me to drink alcohol? Is it all right for me to cuss? And on we could go on about so many other things. So how can we ask if it's all right for me to do that when we know him and we know his person? What you want to arrive at, I was describing some things about knowing my wife. Well, get to know the person of God so that his voice in your heart will be just as familiar as the voice of your spouse is to your ear. Understand, the voice of God in your heart will never, never, never contradict the Word of God. That is why you need to be in the Word of God and meditate therein and do it on a daily basis. If you've got to get up 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour early to get into the Word of God, do it. Do it. And again, I say, do it. God is a spirit. Now, when you go back to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, it's very important that word was there. Because in the beginning, at the very start, at the moment creation was about to start, was, already existed. Well, from everlasting to everlasting, the psalmist tells us, thou art God. And so, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now we say him, we say word, and we say God. Now, so all this is about him in these first 14 verses. The next verse says, that I want to read, is in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now, he was in the world, it was Jesus Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. He made the world. That's re-emphasized. Creation is emphasized right here in the book of John twice in the first 10 verses. He is the creator. And he's called God. He's called the Word. and the Word was God. Then when you get down to verse 14, he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, he that already was from everlasting, at the very moment creation started, was there, Jesus Christ, and he made all things. Without him was not anything made that was made. And then 2,000 years ago, God, who is a spirit, God the Son, left heaven's glory, entered into Mary, and began to form, the Father forming him over the next 9 months, and he was born of the Virgin. But he always was God. It was his human body and human spirit that began 2,000 years ago. But from everlasting to everlasting, he's the Son of God. Read Proverbs chapter 30. What is his son's name, if you can tell, speaking of God? So even 1,000 years before Jesus come, it's already talking about him as the Son of God in the book of Proverbs. So God was always a spirit. Jesus Christ, the Word, dwelt. In verse 14, dwelt among us. The word dwelt means to tabernacle about, among us. The tabernacle was a tent. His flesh was a tent. Is a tent about him? For as Moses was told, no one can see God and live. One of the great things when we are resurrected and we have that body that's likened unto his glorious body, we'll be able to see him as he is. Not even Adam could see that in his day. Moses, great man of God, did not get to see that. No one got to see that. Only Jesus Christ. So understand that from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. And so, as you see that, and that God is a spirit, he came for you, and he came for me because he loved us. Now, Jesus is from everlasting to everlasting. He always existed in eternity past. But in his humanity, he did the following. He conquered sin. He conquered sin. Now, you know, we think of the penalty of sin was death. But when he died for us, the transfer of all sin for all time was placed upon him.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Bible plans.